Good evening. At this time, I'd like to call to order the Genoa Township Board of Trustees special trustee meeting. Today is July 11th, 2022. A full and accurate account of this meeting's audio recording can be found at www.genoatwp.com. And I'll call this meeting to order at 6:30. Present tonight, we have myself, Renee Vaughn, Trustee Antoinette, Mark Antoinette, Trustee Connie Goodman. And absent tonight, we have our fiscal officer, Pat Meyer, and in his place, we have Donna Batten. Also present, we have our deputy police chief, Rush Chabali, our deputy director of roads and buildings and grounds, Corey Flagg, our police chief, Steve Gamble, our director of human resources, Linda Greco, the director of zoning and development, Joe Schaefer, and our township administrator, Paul Wise. At this time, I'd like to ask Duane Knauer to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Perfect. Thank you, Duane. All right. First on the agenda, we're going to skip to police for personnel.
Good evening, trustees. Tonight, I request a resolution to hire Mr. Dakota E. Simkoviak as a full-time police officer effective July 12, 2022. Mr. Simkoviak has successfully completed all portions of our hiring process to include the polygraph, background, psychological, and medical exams. Mr. Simkoviak currently works as a police officer in Sharon Township, Ohio, where he has been employed since February 2021. Based on this, I recommend hiring him at the B-step rate of $32.75 per hour, as allowed in Section 14.2 of the Collective Bargaining Agreement, which states, the Board of Trustees may, in its sole discretion, hire an individual as a police officer at Step B, in which case advancement to all succeeding steps shall be successive one-year intervals. And we have done similarly in the past when hiring officers with prior experience.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. I'll move to hire Dakota Trustee Goodman before the meeting said, I bet you can't pronounce that. Now she's got me all flustered. So I'm sorry. I'm just teasing. So Simkowski. And I know I still didn't get it right. And I'm sorry. I said it a couple times before the meeting. Okay. As a full-time police officer effective July 12th, 2022, at the B-step rate of $32.75 per hour per the collective bargaining agreement, do I have a second?
Second.
All right. A discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Dakota, if you'd like to step up here to take the oath of office. Trustee Vaughn will give it to you. Step over here, please. Aaron, I believe your father is going to come up and pin your badge on you. Welcome aboard.
Congratulations again. Very good. At this time, I'll turn it over to Donna Batten for the fiscal officer report.
First item tonight will be the approval of trustee minutes, the special trustee meeting from May 3rd, special trustee meeting June the 7th, and the special trustee meeting of June the 16th.
Very good. I'll move to approve the following minutes: May 3rd, 2022, special trustee meeting; June 7th, 2022, special trustee meeting; June 16th, 2022, special trustee meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
Very good. Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Last item for the fiscal office report is the May financials. We have a balanced bank, the balanced bank balance. Oh my goodness. Balanced bank. This is not working well for me. $26,231,797.25. Of that, the primary has a bank balance of $5,024,355.21. $19,136,379.56 within our Fifth Third investments, and $2,257,533.31 within our Star Ohio balance. We had a bank deposit error that is rectified in June.
Very good.
And I'll pass that down for your signature, and that's all for the fiscal office.
Very good. Thank you, Donna. All right, next is public comment. So if you would like to speak, we'd like for you to state your name and address before you speak.
Yes, my name is Rick Wieland. I live at 9500 Britton Woods Drive, Galena. I'm a new resident to there. It'll be about a year in August once we build our house and moved in. And I've got some concerns on our road issues and stuff up in there that I need to bring to your attention. I've talked to Bob Matthews a couple times about this, and it's a development that was put in and through Delaware County, and it took kind of a long time to get done. And we're having some issues with the road is not, probably it wasn't built to specs or whatever. So we have some developers that are kind of tearing it up or whatever. I emailed each of you some pictures of it and stuff to take a look at or whatever and stuff. But we've had Bob up there to take a look at it, and I'm not getting much feedback from him and stuff on it. And I called down and talked to Chrissy and stuff, and she says they've got a lot of other issues and stuff going on or whatever. But we need to see if we can address this. We talked to Bob about possibly talking to the county and having the county building officials do something as far as holding the occupancy permit or something up until these builders fix the roads in front of the properties that they're tearing up. What's happening is they do a lot of construction in the wintertime and stuff, and the road gets soft, and they're bringing big trucks and stuff in, and the pavement's just not holding up. So we're left with busted up pavement that's been up there since February, March, that type of business, and no remedies for it at this point. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention because I don't seem to be getting enough stuff happening with Bob right at this point.
Can you state again what neighborhood you're in?
It's Britton Woods.
Britton Woods, okay.
Yeah, it's a new neighborhood off of Red Bank Road over there.
Madam Chair, can I just make one comment?
Sure.
Bob has went out and looked at it. I think Corey might have drove by. This was a privately built road by a developer. The developer left town, kind of. It was a bad situation. But I believe the zoning office got a commitment from the builder, since they were the ones that damaged the road, the builder in front of the home, that the commitment was made by the builder they were going to fix that at some point, weren't they, Joe?
I remember talking about the issue. I mean, I can't force them to fix the issue. I can't remember exactly And we did committed or whether we just...
We did talk about the certificate of occupancy issue, that they're not allowed to withhold a certificate of occupancy for a road issue, so... but that's all I know that...
The county can't withhold.
No, they're not going to. So as far as I know, the builder, I think Susan or someone may have called him, and I think there was a commitment made by the builder to fix the edge of the road where there's a crack.
Yeah, I would have to double-check with Susan, because I think she's the one who made the contact, or maybe Paul Benson, but...
That's what we...
Right, because right now we've got three of those areas, not just one up there, Paul. So now he's got three other lots going on. He's got two more to do in there and stuff. And it's the same builder that's got the rest of the lots and stuff that we're concerned with and stuff up in there. So if you can get, you know, but the idea would be, you know, I don't know if the township has to fix it and then charge the builder for it, because the builder doesn't have the equipment to fix the roads. And what we're dealing with here possibly is the road was not constructed properly with Delaware's county supervision. I don't think there's enough buildup of the base and stuff on the edge of the road to hold up for stuff. So,
Joe, is it a public road? That's
I believe the county accepted it as public.
Yeah, it's a public.
I don't know what date.
So
that was,
does
though.
The? I mean, this could be compared to Lake of the Woods, where they had to bring the road up to speed in order for the county to accept it. Are there standards?
I know the county has public road construction standards, and generally the general practice is before a road is accepted as public, it was my understanding that it's supposed to be inspected and pass that inspection before the county accepts it. I don't know what happened. I usually am not part of that process at all, so I don't know what happened in this instance.
Yeah. But as far as you know, the county has accepted these roads.
I believe so. I can't say with 100% certainty, but I was under that impression.
Yeah, it's a subdivision. It went through as a subdivision for the county or whatever and stuff. So the county, and then the county turned it over to the township. So the township's responsible for the roads here on out and stuff.
Right.
And Bob, we've talked to Bob. Bob's going to mow the ditches and stuff, and they'll, you know, mow like 12 feet or whatever from the roadway and take care of the ditches and the right-of-way areas and stuff up in there. Until most of the homeowners get built in there and stuff, then normally the homeowner will take care of moving that ditch and stuff. So there really won't be much stuff for the township to do up there.
Mm-hmm. To tell you the truth, I wouldn't touch any of these, their cracks on the edges. I wouldn't mess with them till all the construction's done, because it'll just keep adding. And
I would agree with him on that. It'd be nice to do it at one time once it's all done.
Because I saw two of them when I was out there, and I didn't know about the third one, so... If it's a continuing problem, I would wait till all the construction's done before anything's done on the township's part.
But if what he's saying is true, why is it the township's responsibility to fix a road that somebody didn't put in correctly?
I don't know. Was this going to be a private road?
No,
I'm asking you. You looked into it before.
I don't remember that it was a private road.
No, it's not a private road, because we asked that when we were building in there, because we were going to put a gate up there, but we can't put a gate up now since it's not a private road.
I don't recall it ever.
So, as far as I know, the county inspected this road. I know that there was a lawsuit over the paving of it because they were withholding funds at one time from the person who paved it. The developer couldn't afford to pay the paver, so there was a lawsuit filed, and it's been a mess up in that area since the beginning of this whole project. So,
except for our fine homes that are going in there.
We typically, once the road's paved, we really don't put it back on a resurfacing plan until over 20 years.
You shouldn't have to.
Right. So maybe there's some crack sealing or something.
But it's not holding up for us even at this point. So, but yeah, if we can talk, if we can come up with a remedy as far as if you can get with the builder, you know, like I said, he's got three other houses to finish up in there. There's two other lots that nothing's even sold on them and stuff to be done and stuff too. So, and then come up with a plan to fix the whole edge at one time, that would be ideal.
So you said did you email us once you got here this evening?
Yes, I did.
Okay, all right. I'll be in touch, because I'd like to reach out to the county. I don't feel like it's our responsibility to fix a road that somebody didn't put in right.
Yeah, we've talked with Delaware County a lot on it, with Chris Bowserman up there and Lee Bodenauer and all those guys, and they want to wash their hands of it since the township took over it.
Right.
One of those things, but it just doesn't seem fair that you guys would have to put up with it since they didn't do it right to start with. Okay.
I'd like to help out where I can, because this is what I do for a living.
Perfect.
And there are measures that are are provided to protect this from happening. And if in a subdivision, if it's going to be public, then the county will require the contractor to bond the project, and then he doesn't get his bond back until they inspect it.
That was already done, and they this was the first bond that Delaware County had to actually pull in 10-15 years on this one developer, they said, too. But they didn't really get enough bond money to even do the stuff that they needed to really fix up. See what I'm saying? They did the punch-out list, but it didn't cover a lot of this stuff after the fact. So now they're out of money. But that was a good point to bring up as far as the bond.
I'll help where I can.
Yes.
If we want to have a meeting out there, and I'll pull in Bowserman and have a discussion.
Perfect.
That'd be great.
All right. Well, then, well, I'm going to leave him on that because he's the expert, not me.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for coming and bringing this to our attention. Anyone else? Public comment? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to trustee comments. Anybody have anything?
I just want to express my gratitude for the inconveniencing everyone from having to reschedule the meeting. I appreciate you accommodating me. I'll commit to doing a better job of filling in my calendar. We had a vacation plan for months, and I didn't have it on my calendar when I scheduled our meeting Thursday, so I appreciate it. Thanks.
I have nothing this evening.
Very good. I have a couple things. I attended the OTA conference that was on June 23rd. It was a statewide meeting, and they had talked about a little bit about solar panels, and so did the Delaware County Township Association. They had a speaker from the Farm Bureau talk about solar panels, because it's coming. It's coming in Ohio. Ohio is one of five states who is making it very easy for developers, somebody, investors to come in and put solar panels all across our state in mostly farmland. So I don't know how much it will affect our township, but I bring it up tonight because I think it's something we need to be proactive in. And I was gonna, Joe, are you aware of any of this?
I am. I was under the impression that the state had delegated authority largely to the county at the county commissioner level, and I believe the county commissioners did make some sort of decree basically declaring that Delaware was a no solar farm
area.
I want to double check into that, but I know the commissioners did have a discussion about it a while
If that's the case, great. If not, we are being told that we need to have some sort of parameters in our zoning resolution.
Yeah. And they're probably telling townships that because there probably are counties that are not taking that action. Yes. And if their county commissioners haven't taken that action, then
could be.
I will double
check
into
that.
That would be great. I think the commissioners did take some action on that front, but I'll double check.
I just wanted to protect us.
Joe, I vaguely recall that also. So,
yeah. Okay, very good. Also, I did have an email I just wanted to bring to everyone's attention about the ARPA funds that we dedicated. I did have someone reach out to me and say that we weren't dedicating money to the 70-plus age group. But when I look back through what we dedicated, I felt like a lot of it was for the general public. A lot of it went to parks, which I think, parks and trails, which and fire and police, which everybody uses. So I did reply to the person, like specifically, where do you think we're lacking? And I never got a reply, but I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention in case I missed something, because I truly don't know how we could better serve that population, and I really don't feel like we left them out. And finally, this Saturday, July 16th, from 9 to 10 at Freeman Park, I'm going to do my monthly residence hour. And that's all I have. So next, we will go to maintenance. First, I'd like to make a motion. We've had a generous donation, so I'd like to move to graciously accept the donation of Robert Litt in the amount of $100 for the Genoa Township Parks and Trails. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? I know that he does this yearly, and it's just so nice that he thinks of Genoa Township on a yearly basis. So it's a great gesture. Roll call.
Roll call. Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we have a couple purchase orders. The first one is for the purchase order of the Mid-Ohio Paving for asphalt. So I'll move to approve the purchase order to Mid-Ohio Paving Incorporated in the amount of $20,000 for asphalt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonin?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next, I have a blanket purchase order, so I'll move to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $10,000 for improvement of sites. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Roll call. Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonin?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, the next four motions I'm going to read, they have to do with our state bid. So this is so that we can get the state bid rate for asphalt, stone, and paving. So the first one, I'll make a motion to approve or accept the asphalt bid results from the Mid-Ohio Paving as presented.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion?
No.
Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonin?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. The next one, I'll make a motion to accept the stone bid results from Mid-Ohio Paving Incorporated as presented.
Second.
Thank you. Still writing. All right. Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonin?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Motion carries. And the next one, I guess it was only three motions. All right, I missed.
Four.
Where are we?
We have two contracts with McCoy.
Yeah, I missed one. Yeah, I'm just ahead of myself. Okay, sorry. So I'll make a motion to accept the trucking bid results from McCoy Paving Incorporated at a rate of $90 per hour, price per hour effective 12 months from date of acceptance, with the option of a 12-month extension with approval from both parties. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? Roll call.
A quick correction. $93?
Yeah.
Did anybody else pick that?
Which one? 93?
93 or 90?
It says 93.
93, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. I just wanted to double check because. Okay. No discussion. Roll call. Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonin?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. The last one is another contract for McCoy Paving. So I'll make a motion to approve the paving bid results from McCoy Paving Incorporated at a rate of $7,500 per eight-hour day, price per eight-hour day effective 12 months from the date of acceptance, with the option of a 12-month extension with approval from both parties. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonin?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you, Donna. Next, we'll get a brief resurfacing update from Paul Wise.
Just a quick note that those four bids were actually township bids. I think you mentioned state.
I
so
did.
Those are all four bids that the township went out and solicited some bids for those. So
thank you. Thank you for the correction.
On the resurfacing update, we're a couple days behind because of the weather. Last week, we had some rain. But all the roads that Shelley is doing, they look great. We did have a couple of the roads in preparation had we milled, and those roads had fallen apart. They had terrible base underneath. 25 years ago when they were first paved, the contractor, whoever that was way back then, two roads, Benderson in Park Bend and also Cypress Court over in Highland Lake South, those two roads fell apart. So we had to expend extra funds on those roads to redo them down from the base up to make them right. So we did have to scratch at least Taunton Springs from the list of road paving. Bob apologizes to those residents and promises next year we get to them on the list. So that's the update.
Thank you. Bob did call me out there one day, and I did look, and it, as they were grinding down, literally it was crumbling. So it just, they did not anticipate that. So they took them several more days and a lot more work. to fix those. And to Bob's defense, he's ahead of schedule, so it's all right. All right, next, I had requested that we put the CDL policy on this agenda. A couple people had reached out to me, and I started looking into this, and when I did, realized that the policy that we passed in April was different than what we have for fire and police. So as I looked at the fire and police, I don't even know what you call them, their commitment agreement for fire. First of all, maintenance is 3 years, and fire and police are only 2 years if they go through training and then leave Genoa Township in 2 years. After 2 years, they don't have to pay anything back. So with maintenance, it's three. I was looking at the differences in the policies and wanted to bring it up. Also, with the CDL agreement, it's all or nothing. If they leave currently before 3 years, they have to pay 100% of the cost of the CDL back to the township, whereas fire and police, you have to pay 75% of the cost if you leave after 1 year and 50% after you leave after 2 years. So again, it's not the same. So I had reached out to Linda, and I also I talked to Chief Ponzi this morning just to get the fires version, but Linda, I'm sure you're much more knowledgeable than I am on this topic.
Okay, actually, I don't know if you have paperwork on this, but I made copies for you. It might help you if you just do. Can you pass those down? There's three sets there for them.
Thank you.
So basically, what Renee said is correct, and so I've double-checked with our attorney also on some of this. The first thing that I gave you a copy of is the actual policy, so I think we should probably start there because the process, I know that our attorney put this together, I guess, but the process is very simple that we actually go through with fire and police, and this should probably mirror that in some ways. They're really, with maintenance, there is not an option. Anyone we hire for roads, building grounds, parks has to have a CDL. There's no maybe, right? So we probably don't need to have them go to an administrator and ask for authorization or not have it authorized because they're going to have it, period. And they will know this at the time of their interview before they're hired because that would be part of the information that they'd need on whether they want to work here and whether we want them to work here. So we probably have some changes in the policy itself that should probably be made so that it's just simpler. With fire and police, they take care of this. They have a completely different hiring process than the non-union. But we probably should do it the same way, which is when they do all their paperwork is when they actually sign the agreement. But they do know what the agreement is before that time. So, again, I think there's maybe a few areas that if we can get back with Dave and maybe just clean it up a little bit to fit what our process is. Also, I spoke to Bob because he hadn't read either the policy or the agreement. And to be honest, I just got the agreement this morning from Dave, this agreement for the employee to sign. So when I talked to Bob, we actually came to the same conclusions. One of them was that this wouldn't be a reimbursement kind of thing. This would be, it's a very easy process to take care of the payment. It would just simply be over the phone. Bob would do it. Use his credit card to take care of it. So the thought of actually having the employee bring back all of these receipts and whatever doesn't really make sense. I mean, it would be an easy fix to do it just one way.
So currently, with the agreement that we have, employees and maintenance would pay for all of this and then ask the township to reimburse them for it?
Right, and I'm suggesting we take that out. So
how do we do it with fire?
We're going to offer to pay for it. That's what this whole thing is about. We're not going to change our minds. Paul wouldn't change his mind if they went to him and say, will you authorize this? He's, of course, because they have to have the CDL, right? So again, the first thing I think we should address would be the policy, right? And maybe make these changes to simplify it. It would be, and it's a very simple thing. We would pay for it. They would have, and then also, I know, I don't know who put this in here, but the township will not reimburse for failed attempts of testing. So basically, the testing gives you four chances. And after that, of course, so to me, the object here is we will pay for your CDL, everything that's listed here, one time. And then if you make it, then great. And then we will talk about the actual agreement that they sign, because I agree that we probably should have a prorated amount for them. And I talked to Bob about this, and he said absolutely, because we will have the use of them using the CDL for that first year, second year, whatever. And 3 years is a really long time for anyone to commit, actually, because things come up. They might have to move, you know, whatever it is. And we wouldn't want an employee here who didn't want to be here. So I think, in fairness, I think what Renee said is probably a good idea, that we try to mirror the agreements that we already have.
And just for the record, how much does it cost?
It's almost $7,000. So it's a hefty bill. And generally speaking, the people that we have come in that I talk to and that we end up needing to help get that CDL, they're young people. They don't have I wouldn't have had $7,000 when I was 20, you know, to put forward and be reimbursed even for it. So I think if we make this gesture, which we obviously all want to, that it would be a simple thing that we just pay for it. I agree with the other things, the application, everything that's listed there, those are the things that the costs are going to go to.
Also, I don't know what the total price is for police. I don't think it's quite as much. Fire is about $5,400 if I did quick math. I think yours was a little less overall, Chief.
I don't have an exact number, but when you factor in background examinations, polygraphs, uniform costs, probably up there with similar to fire.
Okay.
So it's pretty costly.
I thought it might be comparable to fire.
Actually, I gave you a copy, the last two copies there. One is the firefighter full-time. The other is the changes that police. You made for the, because they, the police went ahead and used basically the same thing, but they had to fit it to their needs. So it's a little different, but you have a copy of that also. So,
very good.
So what I would suggest we do is maybe, you know, if I could get the board's approval to look at the actual policy first. Dave Riepenhoff is out of town for a week, but when he comes back, I could get together with him and just let him know what changes would simplify this. Maybe we could do that and then use the policy itself to guide how we fix the agreement, because the agreement also, I think, says too much that we don't really need.
So a couple things. I know you two haven't had a chance to look through this. So if you look through this and you want additional tweaks, please feel free to reach out to Linda. Is this time sensitive, Linda?
I have one employee there that is going to be looking to get his CDL. He's already studying, but Bob wanted to make sure that we had these in place. So I'm sure, I mean, these need tweaking. I mean, we've already got something, you know. So I can't imagine it taking long to do. So I think we'll be fine. But basically, the employee has their probationary period, that 6 months that they get as probationary period. They have to get it within that 6 months. That's an absolute. So Josh has already been, studying, and I think he'll be fine.
Just a couple thoughts on this. As I recall, we now have a new mandate on the CDL license. And so we used to do that at a much, let's say, cheaper rate than what we are currently doing. So it probably was more affordable for a new staff member to write a check for a smaller amount. I have no problem with the township fronting the money on this. I think that's the right thing to do, because $7,000 is substantial. However, I also am concerned about the fact that we cannot have that employee do some tests until they have that CDL. And there's a chance that it could take them four trials to get that CDL. So my suggestion would be that any reimbursement plan that we have, or write-off, or whatever you want to call it, that be based on the date at which they obtained their CDL, not the date of hire. It could be all the way to the end of 6 months.
Yeah, well, we've never actually had that problem. So, and we've had people that have failed multiple times, so it's been kind of a touch and go thing. But the 6 months is truly enough time to do that, number one. Number two, the reimbursement. We really haven't been doing reimbursements. You're right, it's been a lot less money, but it's not required reimbursements.
What are we having these people do until they get their CDL license?
Study? What do you mean?
There's other trucks they could drive CDL is not needed. They can drive a one-ton or some of the pickups.
Okay, thank you. I didn't understand that.
And I didn't understand your question, what you were talking about, but you're right. Exactly.
I don't want them just sitting there, okay?
Right, but that's true. I mean, they're working, you know, they're doing it, sure. But they just can't drive certain vehicles.
Yeah, I would just, you know, have us think about whether or not we want it to be at the point they obtain the license.
Yep.
So.
Give me a comment.
This looks like, and you can clarify it for me, but this looks a little bit like apples and oranges. I think these police officers almost have to have these things to do their duty, which comes back to, I'm not in favor of spending taxpayer dollars to advance someone's career if it doesn't benefit the township, I guess, long story short. So who determines whether they need a CDL? Because I'm sure there are positions where they're just maintenance and they have no need for a CDL. Who makes that decision so that we're not benefiting someone's career? They get their CDL through the township, whether they leave in 3 years and it costs them nothing or not.
Sure.
Does that
sure.
make sense?
Right. Did you want to say something, Corey? I don't want to take your... Okay, let him... And then.
So during the winter months, all of our employees are required to work shifts plowing snow. We have 7 CDL class trucks, and we have enough guys for 6 per shift. That is why they all need CDLs, the buildings and grounds and parks included.
So who determines when somebody asks to get this benefit for a CDL, who makes the determination on whether that is appropriate or not?
There's no jobs over there that don't require a CDL except for the administrative.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Now, right. Everybody. That's why I said everybody, when they're hired there, they have to have CDL to,
that's fine.
To work with us.
Right. I got it.
I'm sorry. I must not have
been clear. No, that's all right. I got it. Thanks.
Okay. But are there any other questions, or does that sound like it would work for you? I could probably get all this together by the time we have the next meeting.
And whatever we do would have to be approved by us anyway.
Right.
So it'll come back.
To bring it back to
sure.
you. But can I then try to make these changes with Dave then and bring it back?
Is there anything that she said that you want to tweak? Or you can reach out to her after this as well.
With, because obviously it's going to be your...
That was my only issue. So
I'll reread it, but I don't think there was anything else.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that we as trustees have sufficient time to read through that prior to the meeting so that we're prepared to discuss this.
Yep.
Right. Oh, I totally agree.
Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Can I interject one thing here since we're talking policy? There was a nepotism policy also that was put together, and there was a directive to, you wanted, I think had asked Paul for a grandfather clause, right? And so when I was checking on this, I did ask Dave about that also, because we never heard back to my knowledge. He didn't know exactly what that grandfather clause was. When I explained it to him, which I kind of thought too, the way it's written now, he said, we don't need one. So I just want to let you know, unless you wanted to put together a memorandum, which I don't think is necessary. I mean, he just said you really don't need it. So that grandfather clause that you were talking about, we can just not do that. Just leave it as is, and it's already been approved anyway. So is that good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for the update.
You're welcome.
All right. Next, we'll switch it over to police again for a permanent appropriation.
Good evening again. I'm requesting approval of a permanent appropriation of $166,200 $256.35 into the police station capital fund. And Donna will help me out if I mess this up. But the background on this is the basically the remainder of the money left on the levy, on the bond levy. The majority of it came from interest on the $7 million. So there were a lot of several items of equipment, landscaping, things that we held off of purchasing towards the end of the project because we didn't know if we were going to have any money left to buy them. So now that the dust was kind of settled and almost all the bills have been paid off, this money is remaining, so we want to appropriate it so then we can use it for those items. And to give you an idea of that, there's about $14,000 of equipment and items that we bought using levy funds that we can now use this money to go back and reimburse the levy with. And then there's also a number of different items we're looking at, improvements to the building as far as landscaping and equipment. I'll give you one item on the east side of the building. We need to extend the asphalt. It doesn't go out far enough so that we have several times where tow trucks have tried to put stolen cars or cars held for evidence in there, and they can't get in there because they would be out in the mud. And then there's some items of the landscaping where the flagpole is at. It's all stone now. We're looking at paving that, potentially some type of police memorial. There are just some different items that, you know, we'll come back to the board and discuss if we get to that point as we move forward. So the thing we need to do now is just appropriate the funds.
Very good. Thank you. So I'll move to approve the 2022 permanent appropriations for the Police Station Capital Projects Fund in the amount of $166,256.35. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonin?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Carries.
That's all I have, unless there's any questions for me.
I don't think so. Thank you, Chief. Next, we have zoning with Joe Schaefer.
Good evening, trustees. I had two items on the agenda, and now it's grown to three due to development today. So they are the RFQ follow-up discussion from the last meeting, the Hoover Watershed matter, and we also got a letter of resignation from the Zoning Commission. So do you have a preference on which one I start with?
Whatever you want.
Resignation's easy.
Sure, I'll go with that. So today we unfortunately received a notice of resignation from the Zoning Commission from Mr. Charles Moore. He's informed me that he'll be soon moving out of the township, so he'll no longer be able to serve on the commission. I did have a conversation with Mr. Moore today, thanked him for his service on the commission, and I did get some clarification. He is going to be a citizen of the township through September, and so he's willing to go to the Zoning Commission meeting next week. And it sounded like, I mean, theoretically, he could continue to serve through the September meeting. But in my discussion with him, I think he and I sort of came to an informal sort of agreement that it may be best that after the July meeting that maybe he no longer serve, only because there's like possibly going to be a natural breaking point between applications with the application the commission's currently hearing possibly wrapping up next week, and then August will probably start whatever we get for the August meeting. So it was sort of maybe it would be a clean break so he won't leave during the middle of an application, which is generally preferred because then we have to start subbing alternates in and they've got to play catch up. So I believe the board will need to accept his resignation. And then also I was looking for some guidance on how you want to proceed with filling the vacancy.
So before I forget, what is the effective date then? What's his resignation date?
His letter says as a non-resident, even though he'll still be a citizen, he just won't be the owner of the property, effective next month. So I guess that would maybe, I guess July 31st would be okay. The way I read that.
All right. So do we want to do that first and then discuss next steps?
Sure.
Okay. So I'll move to accept the resignation of Charles Moore from the Zoning Commission effective July 31st, 2022. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonin?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
And I'm sorry, I was remiss to say, and I don't want to speak for Chief here, but he also, in his letter, cites that he's resigning from the police advisory group as well. I'm sorry, Chief, I probably should have sent you this letter.
Is he on? I don't think he can't be on more than one committee.
Oh, maybe he used to serve.
I think he used to serve.
Okay, I'm sorry. I misread that then.
And before I forget, I want to thank Mr. Moore for his service, because I know he's dedicated a lot of time.
I agree.
To the commission, yeah.
Truly an asset.
All right, now discuss moving forward.
So obviously we have the annual reappointments every sort of January, February, March timeframe. Being that we're relatively far away from that date, I think it probably would be in our interest to try to fill the vacancy. So there's a couple different options. I can ask the current alternates if either one of them are willing to be bumped up to the full-time regular voting slot. Obviously, then you'd have to backfill that vacancy. I can ask any of the sitting BZA members. Like, we can put out an announcement and set a deadline for applications. We can do all of the above. So usually, historically, we've always tried to just bump up an alternate or BZA member because it's somewhat of just a natural progression. I think that's how Mark and Trustee Antonetz and Trustee Goodman, I think, believe that's both the paths you took, I think, generally on at the zoning level. So, but that's not to say we have to do that. But.
Can you remind me who the two alternates are for zoning?
Yes, the current alternates are Mr. Jeffrey Bishop and Mr. Kurt Sears.
Thank you.
And if I remember, Mr. Bishop's been an alternate for a pretty extended period of time.
Yeah, I think he came on pretty close to the same time Mr. Moore may have,
yeah.
Maybe shortly thereafter.
Yeah. I think he also has background with the BZA, if I recall.
Yes, he was on BZA first, yes.
Yeah, long time.
I'm in favor of reaching out to the two alternates, reaching out to the BZA, and also having a short window for applications.
Sure,
because eventually we have to fill some spot. Wherever you take, if you fill that in with a current member of one of the boards, you still have a vacancy.
Yep.
So we're still going to be looking for one.
Yeah, that's true.
So the question is, how long will that process take if Mr. Moore is off the board July 31st?
Yeah.
Can that all happen in the next? It's not going to happen in 2 weeks.
No.
No. I mean, there's a reason we have alternates for this type of scenario, so we'll just fill them in until we can find somebody.
So who decides that? Which alternate fills in?
They have the rules of procedure that they adopted a couple months ago as the procedure. It's the most senior ranking alternate member, the one who's been there longer. So it'll be Mr. Bishop, unless he's not there. So, if we want to just set a deadline, I can work with Leslie on pushing out the announcements. And I think she has that form pretty much up and ready to go all the time. So I don't think that'll be too much trouble pushing out an announcement to. You know, I wish we could have caught the newsletter cycle, but things just didn't work out that way.
Well, I don't know. Is it too short of a window to give people to the end of the month? Because I don't want to wait forever.
Well, maybe August 15th. We could cut it off, and that's close to 30 days.
Okay, that's fine.
I think it's important to remember that July is a big vacation month.
I know.
Yeah, so then I could bring it back in front of the board, I guess, at the September meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm good
that
with
sounds
that.
Good.
I think, though, that in the meantime, Mr. Schaefer could reach out to Mr. Bishop and Mr. Sears to see who would be interested, if anybody, in moving to a regular position. Mm-hmm. And then also with the BZA, if someone would want to shift over. We could probably do that at our August meeting, if we chose.
Yes.
And then we'd still have the gap.
Fill somebody, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. We'll sort of
great.
Go past there.
I like it.
Makes sense. Yes, so that's what we'll do there. Next item on the agenda, the RFQ. This is continued discussion from the last meeting. I don't really have any additional information. I think when we left off, the board wanted to go back, review the materials. I did ask the one question. The board wanted to know who specifically was going to be the point persons on each one of these for each one of these firms. We did receive a response from all of them. Mr. Reinhart said he'd be the primary. Metz Bailey McLaughlin said Mr. Schmidt would be the primary, and Bricker and Eckler, the gentleman's name escapes me, but they did mention in their materials, the gentleman they cited as the primary in the materials would be the primary contact there. So I think at that point, the board wanted to do your own scoring and have a discussion in regards to how you felt about the matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody have any thoughts? I did go through and rate, and to me, Chris Reinhardt in the Mets, Bailey McLaughlin came in pretty much neck and neck.
I didn't do an official score. I stayed the last meeting. My concern with McLaughlin and his group is that it seems to be a team of three organizations that gives me some concern. Mm. This Reinhardt being, it looks like he's a sole proprietor, gives me some concern. Mm-hmm. I think Bricker and Eckler, their qualifications speak for themselves. Other than that, I don't have an official score.
Okay.
I didn't run through the numbers, you know, as detailed as the zoning office did. But I reread everything, and in my estimation, Metz, Bailey, McLaughlin, and Bricker and Eckler are far ahead. I think that Reinhardt is a far third, and that's primarily because it's a one-person show. He gave us a two-page initial listing of what he can do. He didn't really give us any, I've done this, here's my clients, no references. I just think it looked a little, to quote an old friend of mine, slapdash. And I think that I'm not sure he really wants this job from what I saw. So I would be reluctant to look at him in fulfilling this role.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Reinhardt's two pages and everybody else has this nice handy dandy, you know, polished presentation, but I mean, when you dissect what the other firms gave us, it's a lot of fluff. They gave us resumes for 10 attorneys, and they're only going to assign us three. So you have a lot of extras in there. When I looked at the resumes of the attorneys that are going to help us, is it Brickler? And Eckler, they have people in Columbus, Lebanon, and Dayton. So I'm not sure they know a ton about Delaware County and Genoa Township, whereas the Metz, Bailey, and McLaughlin, at least they had two attorneys who were here in Westerville and one in Cincinnati. And then you have Reinhardt, who's local. So I looked at that, plus who has experience working with townships. Most of them have experience working with cities and villages. And I mean, it is different working with townships. So when I was looking for keywords, I just feel like Reinhardt had more of the experience with the comprehensive plan and zoning resolution. And I mean, everybody's represented municipalities and individuals and corporations. So I feel like in court, they all probably have a fair share of experience.
Well, I guess if we're looking for someone with a lot of township experience, I go back and ask the initial question that I asked months ago. Mm. Why didn't we look at Brocious, Johnson, and Griggs? They specialize in townships. They've worked with us. They have our history. They know what we have done. So if we wanted something like that, we had them in the beginning. And we have a track record with them.
And I was looking forward to looking at their presentation, but they didn't submit an application, which I was disappointed, honestly.
So was I.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there can be a number of things. You know, maybe they felt that we didn't want them because
I know,
we didn't
I thought
ask
about
them.
That.
And
well,
and
Joe
also,
did tell them. You gave them a heads up.
I sent an email. I never got a response. I know we were having some trouble with emails.
I was
going to
say, a lot of things
mail,
end up
but
in the junk folder.
Could be.
So, I mean, there's a number of things that could have happened. Yeah. I think regardless of who we look at, we want someone that has a proven track record mm-hmm. in writing things that are legal mm-hmm. and are defensible.
Yep.
And just to say, I know I can, is very different than I have done.
Yep. I agree. So where do we go from here?
The advantage of meeting Mr. Reinhardt, I had not.
I did.
I would like the opportunity to, I'd like the opportunity to talk to each of the leads. I think it's only appropriate.
Then can we ask?
Decision without having some sort of brief discussion.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel comfortable with any of that.
Sorry, Mr. Wise, I'm going to put you on the spot. Is that an appropriate step to take as part of an RFQ process to bring them in?
Well, you've narrowed down your search, I guess. I mean, there were only three.
Right.
So I guess if you want to interview each one, that's fine.
We would do it in public session.
Okay.
That's fine.
Correct?
Unless they meet individually. If you want to meet individually, it doesn't have to be in public session. One-on-one with the attorney and one trustee.
I think we were allowed to do that.
Well, I know one of the candidates expressed some concern about doing like back-to-back individual meetings.
Let's clear that with the prosecutor.
Ask Mark.
Yeah.
And if we can, see if they're available August.
Okay.
If not, we can...
You can treat it as an interview open to the public.
Right.
If you like.
Okay, so...
I think that's
special
the best.
Meeting type of a deal.
Right.
I'll talk with Mark. If we get the go-ahead to do that, do you want me to just contact the three of you individually to try to set up, figure out what date will work, whether you want to do it as part of the regular meeting or a special meeting?
I think
it'd
probably be better as a separate meeting. You guys?
Yeah.
Just because this usually is pretty full. And then that's going to take some time.
That's fine.
Okay, so we'll plan on some sort of special meeting
if
I can get clearance from the prosecutor's office on the topic.
If not, what's next steps? We just do it? Yeah, either way, it's going to be separate, correct?
Next step, if you choose, you narrow it down to one, then you discuss fees.
Right.
With that one. Yeah.
Right.
If one or more of the candidates, I guess, express concern with meeting you with you on an individual basis...
Mm-hmm.
You want to the fallback to be, well, we'll meet with all three of them as a board in a public setting then? I'm just trying to...
I think whatever we do, we should be consistent, right?
Yes, you want to... Yes,
yeah,
all three of them need to be treated
the same, right?
Order. Yes.
So, yes.
Okay. So would you... I'm sorry, I still need some
clarification. I think the preference is back-to-back-to-back, right, with us, or no? Would you rather just do it in
public session? So just on my experience, our firm does public work. When there's an official RFQ, we respond with statement of qualifications. They shortlist and they interview, they select.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's only appropriate to give them a chance to come and talk about their firm that might change, influence your decision. So I don't care whether it's public or not. I really don't care.
Do you want to meet all three together in the same room with them, or do you want to meet individually?
I think it should be like a regular interview.
Put them all in the same.
Yeah, I think it should be individual.
You interview each
No, I understand you'll interview them individually, but do you want it to be Trustee Goodman meets with them, and then Trustee Vaughn meets with them, and then Trustee Antonitz, or do you want all three to be in the room at the same time?
I think if you do that, it's going to be 6-8 months, we're still going to be talking about
That's probably, that was
point.
My thought, but I wanted
Good
to make
point.
Sure.
Good point. Yeah.
Okay, so you want probably a special meeting where all three of you will be present, and you'll meet with each one of them.
Yep.
We'll do one, then the next, and then the third.
We can formalize this, but I don't want a whole team coming in here and trying to impress us with suits. Whoever the lead person is,
you want to just
meet
with the lead,
to, right?
Well, because I agree. When I've talked to other people, and you talk about what firms they're using, they have one contact, right? We asked who the one contact would be. So that one contact should be the one who comes, in my opinion, unless somebody else wants to.
I agree.
If they want to bring a second person, I would not have an issue with that. But I mean.
So then really the only question for the prosecutor's office is that something that can be an executive session, or does it have to be in public session?
Yeah, that's a good question.
If you do have the option on executive, does the board, I guess, I don't know if that's an appropriate question to ask at this point, whether you have that
No, it's a good thought.
Sorry, think out loud to hear through the issues.
It's a question.
I'll just find out and we'll cross whatever bridge we need to cross.
I don't know.
Okay, I think I've got enough direction.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks, Joe.
The third item on the agenda was the Hoover Watershed Overlay continued hearing. Since this meeting got moved to a date in which we didn't have the hearing advertised as being continued to, I don't think it would be appropriate to open the hearing tonight. What we'll probably need to do is establish a new date for the continued hearing and re-advertise it in the paper, and we'll do the constant contact and post on the website. Since it sounds like the RFQ process is still probably going to be going on, do you want to just set the date as your August regular meeting? That way we can just reopen the hearing, and if we have to automatically continue it, we can, but at least we're back on the record and back on track.
I'll leave it. Okay. I'm fine with
everybody.
That.
That's fine.
Because I have more than enough time to advertise for the
okay.
August meeting.
That's fine.
So that's what I'll just plan on doing then, and maybe we'll have a little more guidance on the RFQ front at that point, and we can
okay.
get back to actually discussing the substance of the hearing. So.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Joe. That's all I have for you this evening.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. That concludes the regular meeting. I do have a couple announcements. July 13th, the Citizens Police Advisory Committee meeting. July 18th, we have a Zoning Commission meeting. July 26th, we have a Board of Zoning Appeals meeting. August 2nd is National Night Out. August 3rd is the Parks Advisory Committee. And August 4th is the next regular trustee meeting. So at this time, I will move to adjourn to executive session at 7:31 p.m. to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, and compensation of a public employee, and to consider the purchase of property for the public purposes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Perfect. Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Mon?
Yes. Motion carries. At this time, I'll move to return from executive session to the regular trustee meeting. It is 8:40 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Mr. Antonis?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Motion carries. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our administrator, Paul Wise.
Thank you, Board. One of the goals that we have set forth in the Parks and Open Space Master Plan is advice from that plan to seek out properties adjoining some of our township park properties. And so with that in mind, the opportunity came up where one of the neighboring properties to one of our parks could actually be purchased with some of this with a grant through the Ohio Public Works Commission. And so speaking with one of the owners of the property, we found out that yeah, he would be willing to sell to the board the property if a grant could be obtained. So with this in mind, I asked the board to consider a real estate purchase agreement for the purchase of 6142 Lewis Center Road, Galena, Ohio, for future open space commitment.
Very good. At this time, I'll make a motion to enter into a real estate purchase agreement as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Thank you. At this time, there's no more business before the board, so I'll make a move to adjourn the meeting at 8:42 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. The meeting is adjourned at 8:40 p.m.